Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our pastor, Jeff Conway.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. To begin our pageant, we will have the youth choir open us up in song. Children's choir will teach Jesus' word through part of a VBS program from this summer.
If you want to embark on the full journey, sign up for VBS on July 9th through 13th. Wink, wink.
God spoke through the prophet Isaiah.
Don't fear. For I have redeemed you.
When you pass through the waters,
God will be with us.
When you pass through the rivers,
God will be with us.
I am the Lord your God, and I love you.
God is with us. We are precious in God's sight.
Our first song is based on this Bible verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
Thank you. we embark on God's great adventure, let us find in God acceptance for who we are, joy in the journey,
rest for our weariness, and peace in the knowledge that God will ever be with us. Amen.
Well, that was a great introduction to what our kids are going to be learning this summer and what they're going to be singing. So, Philistine, stand up and turn around and face your congregation. So, her real name is Felicia, but I call her Philistine. So, thank you to Felicia Muley, who does so much for our young people, and that was so fun to watch. You know, there is a, you can go ahead and sit down, or you can stay there the whole time that I'm talking. There is a old rabbinic saying that when you go down to the water to pray, and you cast your prayers upon the water, they reflect, and they reflect up to God. And so how beautiful that our kids are going to be learning about praying, about having fun in going to the river. So let's continue to go to gym class. A little bit different, we're going to take a tiny break from the book of James, and we are going to look in Acts at a very wonderful passage about some women on this Mother's Day who would spend their time down by the river praying. Before I read the scripture in the middle of the book of Acts, you need to know what's going on with Paul and Timothy and the others that were traveling with them at this time, and know that Acts is written by Luke. He was a part of this group that was traveling and sharing of Christ's love, and it was important to them to follow where God called them to be. And so each time they tried to make a move to go one direction, they felt what they said the Spirit of Jesus was telling them, no, don't go in that direction, go another. And as they kept trying to figure out which way to go, Paul had a vision of a man. And he had this vision of a man in Macedonia calling him, come here and help us. And so he shared that with the others that he was with, and he said, we are to go to Macedonia. And so they did that, and so we turn and we read briefly in Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 11. We set sail for Troas, Luke writes, and took a straight course to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we were supposed there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, Luke saying this of all those that were traveling, she urged us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she prevailed upon them. And this is God's word to us this morning. Beautiful story of going down to the river and praying. And throughout this whole story, there's a theme that's there. It's not about us. It's about the divine. It's about the call of God on each one of our hearts. First, in God directing us where to go and how to share. Second, in looking at what it means for each one of us to learn how to listen to God and follow that. And thirdly, a beautiful image on this Mother's Day of hospitality. And that true hospitality is led and empowered by God, God's self. So what is it that Paul and Luke and Timothy and the others were called to do? They were called to share about this gift that they had received, knowing that they were loved by God through Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that causes you the most stress if I were to ask you to go out and share your faith with the first person that you saw that you did not know? What would cause you stress about doing that? Now, if you were in the 7:30 chapel service, you'd be talking right now. And then you'd be throwing out answers all over the place. But I'll let you not do that. I'll answer for you. Some of them were the knocking people on the door and feeling intruded in your own household when you're in the middle of doing something. And so we don't want to intrude on somebody else's life. Some other things that cause stress are if a person asks us when we're in the middle of telling them how much God loves them, and they say, well, what do you think of Leviticus 42:829? And you go, I don't know. So you panic because you think, I don't know everything about every scripture that's there, so I don't have the right to share. And then lastly, you may have that stress of not wanting to judge or intrude in somebody's life by sharing about God loving them. What we need to remember in this is it is not about us. First of all, it's about that other person. And secondly, it's about being empowered by the divine, by God's self as you share. And I tell you, if you're asked a question that you don't know, just make one up. If you're asked a question that you don't know, what should you do? I don't know. But you know what? I'll go try to figure that out with some people and come back to you and let you know. Do not be afraid about the sharing that Paul and the others were doing at this point. It's important. It's the call upon each one of our lives. And listen. That second part of listening. We spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how to listen to God. And it is a lifelong learning adventure. But I call each one of you to that lifelong learning adventure. Listen. Listen. Listen by reading Scripture and understanding the character and nature of our loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen. Listen. In prayer, don't just talk and list off a bunch of things that you need or want or hope will happen, but sit with God as you've lifted your heart in that way and listen. And the more we learn and we practice listening, the more we begin to understand and hear the voice of God and know the difference between our own inner voice and that call of God. I had a gut punch this week. Barrett doesn't always like my gut punches. It's when God just speaks clearly. And he and I were talking about something, and I said, you know, I have a gut punch about that. I just need to tell you that. And talk about direction with him. And he called the right day, and he said, ugh, you were right. Drives him a little bit crazy, but it's because I've learned to listen to those heavenly hunches, as somebody wrote me this week, or gut punches, or just, you know that time when you just felt like you were supposed to call that person and you did? And you realized why you were to call that person afterwards? That's God in the midst. That's God calling and speaking to you. So listen. Listen. And now on this Mother's Day, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate Lydia. Lydia in Philippi. And what was Philippi again that we learn? It was the head of Macedonia, the largest city in Macedonia. And it was a what kind of a colony, does anybody remember? A Roman colony. So who was there at this Roman colony? A bunch of French people. So actually, you know, interesting enough, it really was, this Roman colony was filled with retired Roman officers. So where would Paul and his group usually go when they first got to a city to share about this love that God has for all of us through Jesus Christ? Where would he go? Yell it out. Synagogue. And does this scripture say that he went to the synagogue? Doesn't say anything about a synagogue in Philippi. Why not? Why not? So to have a synagogue, it took 10 Jewish men. 10 Jewish men in a community to have a synagogue. So it doesn't even say anything about it. It just says that they immediately went down to the river, where typically they could find the women praying and people praying. So he passes by, so more than likely there was not a synagogue in Philippi at all. But they went down to the river. And what is it that Paul did that was so extraordinary when he went down to the river? He spoke to what? Women? What's so big about that? Do you understand how dramatic that was for women to be respected and lifted up in that beautiful way? As we are respecting and lifting up our moms this day, so in such a beautiful way, Paul lifted up the women. But not just any woman. He particularly lifted up a woman named Lydia. We know very little bit about her, but for some strange reason, she is one of my favorite people in Scripture. What do we know about Lydia? So she was a dealer in purple cloth, which for some, this can be a hideous color, because it could be one of the Washington colleges and some other sports teams that have this color, right? But what is purple really representing in the time of Jesus? Royalty? The priesthood? It was expensive. It was difficult. So how amazing it is that this woman, Lydia, herself, doesn't say Lydia and her husband. It talks about Lydia being the one who is the dealer in fine clothing, dyed purple. One other thing you need to know, that this is not just a hit and miss moment. Though Lydia was a Gentile, she was a believer of God. She was down with the other Jewish women at the river praying because she wanted to worship the one true God. So this wasn't, I've never heard anything in an instant change, but she had this relationship with God, and Paul was the one who opened it up to go to a deeper place by sharing about the grace of Jesus Christ, by listening to the needs of these women and speaking to them. And Scripture tells us that then Lydia and her entire household were baptized. But the story doesn't stop there. It says that if you deem me worthy, I invite you to come to my house and take some rest there. But then what's the last word in Scripture, that last sentence? And she prevailed upon them. So mothers know how to prevail upon their children at times. Is that true and correct from both sides? And what does prevail upon them mean? She had to convince them. It wasn't just a, hey, come over to my house, spend the night there, everything else. She had to convince them. Why did she have to convince them again? Stay in the house of a Gentile. Stay in the house of a woman. How can all of us men who are traveling together do this? She prevailed upon them, and she shared her hospitality with them. Later on, Paul and the others are thrown in prison. We learn of the prison guard who has a miraculous view of Jesus Christ and change into faith. But after that experience, what happens in verse 20 of chapter 16 of the book of Acts? Where do they go? They go back to Lydia's house. Lydia's home has become their home. That hospitality that she shared with them has been an important life-giving gift. So to all of us who had mothers who were able to share that life-giving gift of hospitality, we give thanks. To those of us who had mothers struggling in giving that kind of gift, we ask for healing and wholeness. But know that in hospitality, it's not just about you and what you can do and how clean your house is and how comfortable your beds are. Hospitality is about welcoming someone, which means releasing of yourself and opening yourself up enough so that somebody feels completely welcome and at home. The charge upon us this day is that it's not about us. It's always about God intervening. Intervening as we share about his love. Intervening as we struggle and work and relax into hearing the voice of God. And intervening in our lives in that gift of hospitality. So I end this by sharing that, you know, my first year in seminary, I had two or three jobs at all times to pay for school. And that first Christmas, I really didn't have enough money to fly home, and nor did I want to give up my jobs because I would have had to quit probably at least one of them. So I didn't fly back from Boston to Oregon for my first Christmas. And, you know, that first Christmas away from home and not being with family is kind of an interesting time. But I had a friend in Connecticut, and I didn't have to work on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, so I was invited to come down to their house in Connecticut. And the first thing that they invited me to be a part of was the children in the family every year read the Christmas story. And they all had their parts that they read each year. You can imagine that, right? I was given one of those parts. And so as being a part of that generation, I was able to participate with the family and read that Christmas story. When I went up to the third story, this was a big old house. When I went up to the third story to go to bed, I opened the door, and the light was on, and the sheets were turned down. And I'd never felt more welcome in my life. Empty yourself. Empty yourself and be that person of hospitality so that someone else may be welcomed in. Amen.